Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So when I was growing up, I was told that multiplication and division are opposites. If you multiply a number, unless you're multiplying by zero, the number gets bigger. And when you divide a number, you make it smaller. For example, if you take three apples and multiply them by four, you get 12 apples. The three apples are still there. It's just that you have four. It's just that you have one pile of 12 apples. Division is just the opposite. If you take that pile of apples and divide it by four, you now have four separate piles of. That was a little less adamant than the first time. In our reading from 1 Corinthians, God uses both of those mathematical concepts to explain the same thing, his work among his people. Paul writes in verse 7, "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. God's Spirit divides his gifts among his people so that the work and effectiveness of serving others and witnessing to the reality that Jesus is Lord may multiply." An ancient fable describes how the animals of the forest decided to organize a school. They established a well-rounded curriculum of swimming and running and climbing and flying, and all the animals were required to take all the courses. The duck excelled at swimming. In fact, he was better than the instructor. But he only made passing grades in climbing and was very poor in running. In fact, he was so slow he had to stay after school for remedial running. And this caused his webbed feet to become so badly worn he became only average in swimming. Now, the rabbit was the top of her class at running. But after a while, she developed a twitch in her leg from all the time she spent in the water trying to improve her swimming. And this caused her to run much slower. The squirrel was a peak performer at climbing, but was constantly frustrated in flying class. His body became so sore from all the hard landings, he could hardly climb at all. And the eagle was a continual problem student. She was severely disciplined for being a nonconformist. In climbing class, she would always beat everyone else to the top of the tree, and when the instructor told her that the point of the class was to teach everyone how to become better at all the skills, she just didn't listen and continued to use her own method. What the school failed to note was that each of the animals had a particular design. And when they did what they were designed to do, they excelled. But when they tried to operate outside that area of expertise, they were not nearly as effective, but they certainly got frustrated. Ducks can run. In fact, they can run hard, but they're slow, and they get tired quickly. And we can be that way as well. God has placed each of us here so that together we can share God's love and mercy in Christ with our community. But like a duck out of water, when we serve outside of our area of giftedness, we can do it, but it isn't what we do best. And that's why knowing your spiritual gift is important. It enables you to do your best with enthusiasm and effectiveness. So for the next few weeks, we're going to explore this a bit more. And as I said, if you haven't filled out the spiritual gifts assessment tool yet, I'm going to keep asking you to do that, because I really believe it will help us to do what God wants us to do here. Each of us has a part to play, and helping us to know how you are gifted can help us to know what part you would be able to play best. In the Nicene Creed, we confess, "I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life." In our reading from 1 Corinthians this morning, the Apostle Paul says, we can't believe and confess that statement truthfully except by the power of the Holy Spirit. And in verse 6, we read, there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. That Greek word translated empowers is the word energon, which is the word from which we get our word energize. And the first gift, the gift that every Christian has, is the ability to believe in Jesus. The Holy Spirit gives us the energy, the ability to believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The Holy Spirit brings us to faith and keeps on giving us the power to believe in Jesus. He connects us to Him who is the life, so that we might live forever. But in that reading, Paul told us that there's more the Spirit gives. He gives us all the gift of faith, because we all need salvation. But as he talks about special gifts of the Spirit, he's talking about the individual gifts that he gives so that members of the church can serve each other as well as our community. Spiritual giftedness isn't a salvation question. It's a service question. We all know, we all need to know what Jesus earned on the cross for our faith and salvation. And it's the Spirit who delivers that gift. But the church also needs a variety of other gifts so that we might serve one another and our community effectively. And the Spirit does that as well. So what might that look like in practice? Well, imagine you're driving down the freeway or a highway, and there's a large truck in front of you. In the back of the truck are a number of cages filled with chickens. The truck suddenly begins to swerve out of control, runs off the road into the ditch, and flips over. The cages fly out the back and break open, and all the chickens scatter. Most of those chickens are still alive, by the way. Now, a number of people immediately pull off on the shoulder to help. But what's needed from the various people who have stopped? Well, maybe someone's needed to immediately take charge. They would announce to everyone, here's what we got to do, folks. And then they begin delegating responsibilities, giving orders as bystanders spring into action. And maybe somebody needs to begin organizing and overseeing the details. So after hearing what the leader says, they start to implement the plan. They divide people into groups, distribute equipment, someone to direct traffic, others to assist the driver, others to be the chicken wranglers, and they do everything they can to ensure that each group has the necessary tools to get the job done. And maybe somebody needs to focus completely on the needs of the driver. Forget the truck, the chickens can wait. They go straight to the cab of the vehicle to offer assistance to put the driver at ease and to care for him until the paramedics arrive. A sense of mercy for the victim is their primary focus. And maybe someone realizes that, you know, this is going to take a while. The rescue team is going to need food and water, so they take off to grab some supplies. They're hospitable to those who are sacrificing of their time and energy. And maybe someone begins to ask the people who saw the accident, what exactly they saw, in order to gather information for those who are going to need to do an assessment. What could have been done to avoid the loss of control? How can this be prevented in the future? What steps might the highway department take to avoid another accident at this location? They want to gather the facts and take notes, organize everything to learn how others might avoid such an accident in the future. And maybe someone simply walks up and asks, hey, how can I help? Put me to work. Whatever you need me to do, I'll do it. And then they stay. They do the odd jobs needed until the driver's been taken to the hospital and every chicken has been recaged. And then before they leave, they even pick up the debris from the accident and after the tow truck driver hauls the vehicle away. That's kind of an example of the need for people with various gifts and talents in the church. These six people jumped in and did what came naturally to them to respond to that situation. But what if everyone tried to cover all of the needs? What if they tried to direct the effort, provide mercy, and were hospitable to the first responders? How would that go? What if the various people who arrived all had the same gift and talent? Everybody wanted to direct the rescue effort. How would that go? What if there were people to lead the effort, to attend to the organization, to be hospitable to the first responders and clean up the scene, but nobody had the gift of mercy, caring for whoever was hurt? The people might just lay on the ground groaning. Or what if people were consumed with the wrong goal? What if all the rescuers were focused on getting the roadway cleared so other traffic could progress, but nothing was done for the driver or the chickens? Or what if nobody stepped up at all? What if everyone just went on their own way? See, this is why I believe it's important for us all to know how God has gifted us. We do this so that we might be better servants to our fellow believers and to our neighbors. And God has given different people in our congregation different gifts to help accomplish God's mission. So my prayer over these next few weeks is that we'll all become a little clearer on understanding why various spiritual gifts are needed for the work of our congregation. And also a better understanding of why it's important that each of us know how we're gifted. Everyone has something to contribute to the mission that God has given us here. The Spirit works in us by dividing spiritual gifts among His people. He does that so we can multiply by meeting the needs necessary to accomplish that mission that God has given to us. God has put you and me here for a reason. We all have a part to play, and every one of us is important and necessary.